Are you frustrated or discouraged with your prayer life? Do you feel like you're just saying words but not really connecting with God? Then stay with us. Help is on the way.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip serves as our Bible teacher on this daily international discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy. If you've ever wanted to learn the secret of a great prayer life, well, today's program is for you. We're currently in our series, Sacred Rhythms, Cultivating a Lifestyle that Makes Room for God. Over the next few days, we'll be talking about the spiritual practice of prayer. It's one of the toughest of the Christian disciplines to maintain. So like Chip said, help is on the way. He's team teaching with his son Ryan, who's a pastor in his own right of a vibrant young church in the Bay Area. So now here's Ryan with our message, Cultivating Daily Connection with God.
One of the distinct memories I have as a kid growing up was waking up super early to go to the bathroom. And as I woke up, and many of you had this as a kid, but maybe this next part is a little different, I would see my mom sitting on the couch. And without fail, in the early mornings while it was still dark, she would be there with a good cup of coffee and just the glow of the lamp lighting the room, spending time with God. There was something about my mom's relationship with Jesus that's deeply personal. It shaped me as a kid. You know, we would say it this way. I don't know we'd say it this way, but I say it this way. Like, when my mom prays, stuff happens. Like, it's powerful. Like, when she prays, she's talking to a friend, a sacred friend, not just an impersonal being, or it's not wishing that's somehow going up. I can still remember that even all throughout to this day, like, if there's any big need or concern, I want to let my mom know. Because when she prays, God hears her prayers. It's as if she has like this direct connect with God. Have you ever wondered, why is it that some people seem to have this like direct connect with God? When we talk about prayer, doesn't it seem like that powerful prayer or some of the things that we read about or hear about, doesn't it just kind of feel like that's designated for the super spiritual, maybe the Navy SEALs of Christianity, like they get to have that, but the rest of us ordinary folk, we don't get to experience that. Maybe a better question for us to wrestle with is how do you and how do I really truly experience this personal, life-giving, intimate relationship with Jesus? We're in a series called Sacred Rhythms, and sacred rhythms are simply spiritual practices, maybe some of you know them as spiritual disciplines, that help cultivate the very life of Christ in us. They're practices that, as you put into practice over the course of time, help form Christ in you. Our lives are not a product of our desires, of our dreams, or even our ambitions. Our lives are a product of the very rhythms and habits we have embraced. And so it's incredibly important that we wrestle with this question well. Are the rhythms of my life producing the kind of person I long to be? The kind of dad, the kind of mom, the kind of friend, the kind of like man or woman you want to be? Are the rhythms of your life producing the life of Christ in you? Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, is unpacking what true flourishing looks like. He starts with the Beatitudes and this reality of those who are truly blessed or flourishing in life and what it looks like. That in Christ, in Him, is life, is flourishing. That's the reason He came. And then he shifts his attention to these sacred rhythms that are the very mechanism by which he wants to produce and develop this flourishing in us. Now, if you read the Gospels, what you'll find, Jesus will say it this way. If you want to know what's in your heart, Look at your words. He said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But if you want to know what has your heart, look at your finances. And he says, this practice of generosity not only releases the grip of greed, but it redirects our heart to a surrender and a saying, God, I am all yours. He then begins to speak about this rhythm of prayer. This rhythm of prayer that begins to lead us to the very heart of God, this relationship with him. See, prayer has remained for many, I think, kind of an enigma. And so he's going to unpack it. In fact, it's the only thing that the disciples ask that we have recorded of Jesus to teach them on. He's not teach me how to preach, not teach us how to, like, you know, cast out demons and heal the sick and raise the dead. Lord, there's something about the way you pray that I want to experience. Teach us to pray. You see, prayer is just simply this. Prayer is the pathway for you and I to experience intimacy with God. Prayer is the way that we begin to encounter God in this deeply personal way. Prayer is simply engaging in an ongoing conversation with your Heavenly Father. The ancients would say it's keeping company with God. It's a conversation. Prayer, I like the way Richard Foster would say it. He would say it this way. Simple prayer is this. Simple prayer involves ordinary people bringing ordinary concerns to a loving and compassionate Father. Like simple prayer. You don't have to complicate it. It's not so complex. You don't have to have all these things added to it. It's just your ordinary people, not the supernatural people, not the super spiritual Navy SEAL people. It's just everyday people like you and me bringing ordinary concerns. Sometimes we wrestle, like, is this a big enough deal to bring to God? So it's just bring what you have to a loving and compassionate Father. See, prayer is this pathway by which God produces intimacy, oneness, connection with him. And as a result, prayer is powerful. Prayer changes us. Prayer changes the world around us. I love how Oswald Chambers said it. He would say it this way. Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Now, chances are, already my introduction, I'm done. Just so you know, that's the end of the introduction. Some of you are resisting everything I said because prayer feels a little bit like flossing. Right? And here's how I answer when I go to the dentist and they ask me if I flossed. Have you been flossing? Not as much as I should. And that's kind of the problem. Is there's this pressure around this, some of these expectations, and if for some, it just feels like this necessary thing we have to do. We know it's good for us, but it's not life-giving. It's not transformative. It's not like, wow, I can't believe this. I'm in the presence of God. God wants to hear my voice. And when I speak to him, he changes me and changes the world around me. So how do we experience that kind of prayer? How do we experience this intimacy with God? How do you have a direct connect with God, not just the super spiritual people? How do we develop a prayer life that's actually powerful and transformative? If you got your Bibles, would you open them up to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. We pick it up. And what Jesus is going to do, he's going to accomplish two things that set up that conversation. First, he wants to declutter prayer. We bring extra baggage to prayer, don't we? And he wants to help us understand, like, Here's what it really is. Don't add all this extra stuff to it. Take the pressure off. And then he's going to lay the foundation for developing this intimate, life-giving love relationship with your Heavenly Father. Listen to what Jesus says. He says this, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you or recognize you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them. Two things we want to accomplish in our time. First, let's declutter prayer. Let's take some of the pressure off of it. And then let's talk about how do you develop this intimacy with God through prayer. Decluttering prayer, the first thing Jesus tells us here is a couple things that prayer is not. And we add this to our prayer life or the pressure or the expectation. The first thing he's going to tell us is prayer is not a performance. It's not a performance that somehow you have to have the perfect prayer, say the perfect words, try to impress others or God. You notice what he said there, right? He said, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Who are the hypocrites? Well, they're the Pharisees. They're the religious elite. They're the ones trying to impress everyone with how godly and how spiritual they are. Do not pray like them. Why? Because they love standing in the synagogues, the place of worship, and on the street corners to be seen by others. In the Jewish culture, a devout Jewish man had a couple rhythms to his life. First, they would quote the Shema two times a day, right when they got up at the beginning of the day and at the end. The Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then they would have three designated times to pray. And there was a rhythm and even written out prayers that they would quote during this time. And what a Pharisee would do is they would make sure that during those designated times of prayer, they were in a public place. Because not everybody did this three times a day, just the really devout Jews, the religious, the right ones did. And so they would go and make sure they're on a street corner so everyone could see them stopping to be with God while they're hurrying about their day. Look at me. Look how great I am. Look how awesome I am. Look at how godly I am. And Jesus is decluttering, stripping the baggage away, and saying prayer fundamentally is not a performance. See, religion is about performing. Relationship is about presence. See, you're invited into a relationship. God doesn't want your performance. He wants you. Being present with him. See, I don't have to perform for God so he'll respond to me. You don't have to pray the right prayers. There is no perfect prayer. We tend to do this, don't we? We hear someone else pray and we compare ourselves and think, well, I can't pray like them. Wow, they're so good at praying. Isn't that a funny thing that we say? It's like, no, this is just an intimate love relationship between your heavenly Father. It's a conversation. We're just talking relationship and presence. God's just going, I want to be with you. I want to hear from you. I want to know you. I don't really know what to say. Say what's on your mind. Tell me about your day. You can even just be quiet. Isn't it amazing how some of your best friends, you can just be quiet and be great? Because just to be together is so wonderful. You know, years and years ago, I was a worship leader. And this is kind of how we begin to do stuff in the Christian life. And we got to be so careful. At the time, there was some really great worship bands and people leading worship. They happened to all be from the UK, from Britain. And what was so cool is like when you hear their worship and when we begin to compare, like you hear them and like Matt Redman, thank you, Lord God, today. And like when you speak to God in a British accent, it's just cooler. And I'm sure God has to hear them better than me. I was leading worship and it suddenly began to creep in to my leading of worship as I began to mimic them. And some guy came up afterwards like, man, that's so great. Thank you so much for leading us worship. By the way, where are you from? And this was in Chicago at the time. And I was like, from Santa Cruz? And he's like, oh, I thought you were from Australia. prayer is not a performance to compare with other people. Bring yourself as yourself, not someone else. And then he's going to say this. It's not just not a performance. Prayer is not a secret formula. Have you ever felt that? Like, I just have to have this secret code, password. Like, if you just say the right thing in the right way, then God will work. Then God will move. Then maybe he will hear me. Notice what he says. He says this. He says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling. That word literally means heaping up empty words. Do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. In the Greek and Roman worship, the length and repetition was a sign of evoking the gods to move on their behalf. And so Greek and Roman worship, what they would do is they would have very long, very loud, repetitious words, hoping to move their God on their behalf. And he's saying, don't lean that way. There's no code word. There's no like, man, if you just say the right things in the right order, there's no time limit. I remember, oh my goodness, when I was really trying to get serious about prayer, I thought like if you were really serious about prayer, you prayed 30 minutes a day. And so I set a timer 30 minutes. It was hell on earth. Longest 30 minutes of my life. It's not about time. It's not about like finding the right words. It's not a secret formula. It's a relationship you're invited into. Like, start with just simply a very sincere, short, direct conversation with God. See, what happens with both of these, what we unconsciously do is in our prayer, instead of approaching God as this loving Heavenly Father, and we're going to talk about that in a second, we're somehow trying to control God, get him to do what I want him to do. Like, the secret formula is this genie in the bottle, this Santa Claus reality of like, man, if I do this, if I get this, then somehow, then God, you have to do this for me. And by the way, if you want to pray and have it be powerful, we first have to stop trying to control God or make him do what we want, and we simply invite him to change us. And when you have that honest conversation, it's powerful. I think a few things how we do this secret formula world. One is just repeated words. Have you ever noticed this? And if you do this, no, there's literally no shame. We're just talking about this. We're learning about this together, right? But think about the way you pray, and would you have that same language in a normal conversation? Because that's all prayer is a conversation with your Heavenly Father. And sometimes we bring in lofty words as if that's going to, Lord God, and we change our voice, Lord God, right? And then we just say, I don't, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, 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 God. You know, it's like, no, just God. Like, he knows he's God. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's not confused on who you're addressing, but we can have this repeated phrase over and over and over where you just go, no, I'm just having a conversation. God, it's been a tough day today. It's been hard. That meeting didn't go the way it planned. I just need your strength. The end. Sometimes secret formula is we just have mindless prayers. We do this before lunch or dinner or something like that. You're eating Taco Bell and you're asking God to bless it. He can't. Sorry. That is the silliest. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't. But you're sitting down to eat junk food. Lord, bless this food to our body. He's like, no. No, I will not bless that to your body. That is an okay. And it doesn't mean, here's what I mean by this. It doesn't mean you can't pray the same thing over and over again, or even pray written prayers. I think those are powerful. It's to make sure that we are thoughtful in our prayers.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip and his son Ryan Ingram will be back in just a minute to talk more about today's message from our series, Sacred Rhythms, Cultivating a Lifestyle That Makes Room for God. If the burdens of life are pressing in and you need to make some changes, Sacred Rhythms will help you do that. In Sacred Rhythms, you'll learn how to develop a few of the key spiritual practices that unlock a deeper, more satisfying relationship with God. To order your copy of Sacred Rhythms or to send a set to a friend, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org. You'll find that the CDs are discounted and the MP3s are absolutely free. Or if you prefer to order over the phone, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, you very candidly say that prayer is one of the hardest rhythms for you to maintain. Why do you think that is?
You're right, Dave. In fact, I used to feel very guilty that I so struggle with my prayer life, that my mind would wander or, you know, just the sheer willpower and discipline. Mm-hmm. And what I've realized, it's a lot more complicated than saying to yourself, okay, I'm really going to pray. There is an enemy at work. When you begin to pray, you're involved in spiritual warfare. I love Ian Bounds, who said, you know, something to the effect of, Satan is concerned when people read the Bible, but he trembles when they pray. And what I learned is a lot of people are frustrated in their prayers. And part of it is they can say words, but what they don't know is how to experience God in prayer. You know, it can become a, how do I not feel guilty? Or do I just go through this whole list? And so we've developed a video online course that's pretty short. It's very simple. And what I want to share with you is what God's taught me from His Word, not how to say words, not how to be rote, but how to actually experience God in prayer. If there's any gift I could give to anyone that'll have an impact in your heart and then your family and your relationships, it's experiencing God when you pray. I mean, that's the heart of God anyway, and we want to help you learn and grow, not just to become regular in your prayers, but to walk away from a time of prayer and say in your heart of hearts, I just met with God, and better, He just met with me. Dave, why don't you give them all the information about how to get this free video online course?
Sure will. Chip's online course on prayer is a great resource, no matter where you are in your prayer life. If you'd like to learn more about how to cultivate a daily connection with God, you can do these 5 video sessions with Chip at your own pace, by yourself, or with a few friends. To sign up for How to Experience God in Prayer, just go online to livingontheedge.org and take your next step toward experiencing God through prayer. Now let's get back to Chip and Ryan for today's application.
As we wrap today's program up, Ryan, you said something that I really think is a key. And it was almost like just a comment that you threw in. But this is what you said. We have to stop trying to make God do what we want and simply invite Him to change us. What has birthed that kind of clarity and passion in your life?
I think learning what is truly powerful prayer. Mm. And wanting to experience the presence of God. And yet what I found was my prayer life was trying to get God on my terms, God to follow my will and my ways. And that's incredibly frustrating. Mm-hmm. It leads you to a place where you're disillusioned about God, yourself, and He wants to get you and me on His ways, His will. And when we invite Him to change us, all of a sudden our prayers take on a new level of power and intimacy, and He answers that prayer.
Yeah, I think it's not Chip's kingdom come or Ryan's kingdom come, it's Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done. And you talk about this a little bit later, but this idea of surrendering our will is a real key, not only in answers to prayer, but in actually experiencing God. What's the most challenging thing you've had to surrender when you have been praying that has caused a new connection in your relationship with the Lord?
One that comes right to mind is with my kids. Mm. I have 3 kids, you know, 2 teenagers, and that teenage stage and where they're engaging in friends, and my daughter starting high school and wanting to protect and wanting to shield and learning to surrender and go, God, okay, Your will be done here. I'm going to release her to You and release them to You and trust You along the way.
So you sure teach them at home, but there's certain things that God's going to teach your kids as they go through things.
Right.
And I agree with you, boy, even as a grandparent, I know better, but I tend to want to pray, oh God, make everything, you know, work out well and help them be successful and the right friends and the right this and the right that and the right future. And yet I look back in the rearview mirror with all of you and with me and your mom and realize it's probably been the suffering, the difficulty, the challenges where we've needed Christ and where he's really become more real to us than ever before.
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing so honestly, son. I think there's lots of people listening that have challenges with surrendering their kids as well.
Just before we close, I want to thank those of you who make this broadcast possible through your generous giving. Living on the Edge invests those dollars to purchase airtime, create programs, and provide resources to help Christians live like Christians. Now, if Living on the Edge has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? You can donate online at livingontheedge.org or by calling us at 1-888-333-6003. Thank you for your partnership with us. Well, I hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we continue our series, Sacred Rhythms. For Chip and everyone here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.